Let's bring in our man, Ryan Beach, Sportsnet 650's very own prospect analyst. What is going on, Beacher? How are you?
Well, how are you guys?
Good. Feeling good this morning? A little hungover? You all right?
I'm not a little hungover. I'm a little tired after the athletic event last night at the Pint. It was a good time, but my children were not aware of me not getting home until midnight, and they decided that 5:30 was a good time to get up.
Oh, so, yes.
A little tired, not hungover, but
that having the kids thing, right? Like the kids thing. I don't know what that's like. Yeah. All right, Ryan. You know, we're still waiting to see the final cuts get made by this team here, and we anticipate it's going to get done, if not today, at least, of course, by the weekend. But Ole Yalevi and reasonable expectations, when you look at how Yalevi has played in the preseason, is he better off going down to Utica and spending a couple months down there, or do you think they could find a way to hide him and slowly bring him along on the main roster?
I think he might be best served to head down to the Comets and do his thing down there. I think that, you know, the expectations for him in camp were high, but a lot of people kind of glaze over the fact that he, well, you know, had the back injury, had the surgery, and, you know, he's missed 8 weeks of training, and that's, you know, puts him a step behind, and then trying to crack camp already is a hard task. So combining those things, I don't think it's the end of the world for him to go down there, do his thing, and then when an injury inevitably happens to a player in the top six, call him up and play him. I think the worst thing that you can do for a player like Ole Yalevi is to have him sit in the press box here in Vancouver. So no matter what, the priority should be either playing him here or playing him down in Utica. And based on his play, I don't know if he's, you know, ready for a full-time shift. Get him down to Utica and let him do his thing with the likes of Dolan and likely Gaudette as well.
Not being ready, I think, has been a common theme with quite a few Canucks prospects in camp so far. So when we start looking at this team and the guys who vied for spots, do you think this has been a case of players not earning spots so far? Because you saw Dolan go down. Outside of Pedersen, have you seen one young player, and I'm not talking about Goldobin or Leipzig, that has really earned a spot here, and that includes Gaudette?
I don't think so. I think you're right, but I think Pedersen, you know, he definitely deserves to be here, and he will be here, and that was always going to be the case. And I think there was an opportunity for someone like Gaudette to seize the role. Same could be said about Ule Levy, but both of them, you know, they didn't really, you know, take it and, you know, wrestle it away from someone else. So, you know, there are other players available, whether that's the Tyler Motts or the, you know, whoever else, the Beagles, things like that, that are going to take those roles without a doubt. So, you know, it's a little bit disappointing, but I can't say it's unexpected. You can't really expect all these players to make that leap immediately and make an impact right away. So, you know, if they kind of go down to Utica and do their thing, and then hopefully they can, you know, take those steps forwards. It's never, you know, it's never a linear path when it comes to development. There's always going to be bumps and bruises along the way, and you kind of hope for the best. They kind of figure it out.
We know in the AHL, rosters can be pretty eclectic, but the Vancouver Canucks as an organization are trying to create a new culture here with Henrik and Daniel gone. And I think part of it trickles down to Utica as well, because I'm looking through their roster right now, Ryan, and only three players on the listed roster so far were born during the 1980s. And the oldest player is Jamie Seifers, who was born in 83. Everyone else is either a 1990 or even a little bit younger than that. How encouraging is it to see a young group, not just here in Vancouver, start to form, but also in the AHL, in the minor leagues, where a lot of these guys could be playing as teammates for a long time?
That is good. It's a good thing to see. You know, they're having a lot of players make the leap to the AHL this year as a group. You know, Lynn, Gadjevich, Palmu, Jasek, Dolan, Ulevi, joining the, you know, the younger guys like Breezeblois and Chatfield, and, you know, even so Sautner and likely McEnany in that group as well. So, you know, they're going to get, you know, there's going to be some chemistry created by playing down, you know, together in the farm, and then hopefully that translated up to the next level. You are absolutely right. It is kind of a transition phase for both the Canucks and the Comets as well. You know, they were led more by the veterans in Utica last year, and now it's going to be the opportunities for the Gaudettes and the Dolans and all these players to be the offensive leaders for these teams and, you know, kind of hit the ground running and then work their way up from there. So it's, you know, you can generally look back at teams that are successful and see that their nucleus came from playing together in the AHL aside from the elite talents. So hopefully that's what the Canucks are, you know, striving for, and it's not going to be a guarantee that just because all these players are playing in Utica, it's going to happen, but at least it's a good thing to see that they're all going to be together and kind of work on being a team.
Now, based on what you saw in training camp and also throughout preseason when he was here, your expectations for Zach MacEwen and how many goals and points and what kind of a role do you think he might be able to carve himself for the Comets this season?
I think he played pretty well. I think he definitely took big steps forward compared to last year's training camp, which is what you're looking for. I think he was always a long shot to make the team, but I think he does possess a skill set that is attractive in the new NHL. For him to go down to Utica, I think it's about, you know, forcing his way onto a top six spot. I think it'd be easy for him to kind of get lost in the weeds there with the players. But if he can assert himself physically and show those playmaking abilities, those puck skills that kind of go under the radar for him, I think he'd be a really good complement for players like Gaudette or Dahlin or someone like that, who's, you know, he's willing to muck it up and go get the puck and then get it to them and then go to the right spot. It isn't a matter of just letting the play unfold around him. He kind of hopes to dictate the play. And if he can do that, then I think he's a good fit for more offensive players in Utica and then hopefully here in the NHL as well. If not, the good thing about him is that, you know, because he does have that physical edge to the game and he can skate really well and he can do, you know, does well in his own zone, I think it, you know, it isn't out of the question to also see him being a possibility as a, you know, a fourth line player in the future as well. But we're at that point now in his development where you kind of want to see what his ceiling might be, and is that going to be a top nine forward as a complement to more offensive players.
When we start looking at the players who might get the recall first, would a good expectation be that the first forward recalled is not named Reed Boucher or Tanner Kira? Would that sort of be viewed as a win for these prospects?
Yeah, I agree. I think so. I think that both of those guys are the easy call-ups just because they have the experience. Both of them have cleared waivers, so then, you know, they can play up to 10 games in the NHL or 30 days before requiring waivers again. So those are the easy call-ups. What you're looking for is any one of those, you know, aforementioned players asserting themselves and being that first call-up and getting ahead of those two. So I think that that's the goal for any one of these players.
And then when we look at a guy like Adam Gaudette, for instance, because, you know, I think you can make the case that he could hold his head above water playing a sheltered role or a bottom six role on this team right now or play with good wingers. But how much growth can he have in his game if he does have success in Utica in a scoring role?
It is possible. You know, I think that when he first made his transition to the NCAA, a few years ago, it was pretty rough sledding. He wasn't really doing what he was doing, you know, what sets him apart as a player. And then when it got to December, he kind of hit the ground running and never really looked back over the last 2.5 years. And I kind of almost feel the sense that it's the same idea when it comes to him transitioning to professional hockey. Those handful of games last year, you know, he kept his head above water. He did really well, but he wasn't really doing the things that sets him apart as a prospect. And I kind of see the same similar things in preseason so far this year. You know, he can do what he needs to do to be a decent player in the NHL, but you want him to show those offensive capabilities that he used, especially last year in the NCAA. So I think going down to the AHL for him shouldn't be seen as a bad thing. It should be seen as an opportunity for him to be the first-line center for the Comets, play on the first power play unit where he was really effective with Northeastern, play on the PK, do those last-minute, protecting lead, last-minute trying to score a goal, do everything that he might be put in a situation when it comes to in the future in Vancouver and take advantage of the opportunity there. And then when, you know, I always say inevitably when injuries happen, because I think that people kind of forget that, you know, we're going to be talking in December and we're going to have a list of injuries of players, and I'm sure one or two of these players we're talking about will be up in a relief role. And I think that once we see an injury happen to a center in Vancouver, or maybe Pettersson is better suited on the wing to start for this year, then we may see Gaudette make his way back up.
Talking prospects here with Ryan Beach, our Sportsnet 650 Canucks prospect analyst on the playbook. And Ryan, how curious are you to watch Lukas Jasik, considering his huge impact when he came over to Utica at the tail end of last season and what you saw out of him also in training camp and in preseason?
I'm definitely excited. I think I got asked a few times last night at the event who I think that might be the most underrated prospect. And I think that Lukas Jasik is kind of the one who's gotten lost in the weeds a bit with all these other players coming. You know, he's definitely been a victim of circumstance over his development path. And I think that now that the Canucks have him within their own system and have a bit more control over, you know, how he's going to be distributed and deployed and things like that, I think that there's, you know, there's more reason to be optimistic than what we've seen so far, aside from his Utica Comet time. But that time with the Comets is definitely a very encouraging sign with 7 points in 6 games. And I don't think he's going to score at that rate in the NHL this year, but I think that, you know, going down there and showing that he can be an offensive player in a top six role is what his goal should be. And I think that he has the smarts and the speed and the skill to do it. It's just a matter of now doing it on the North American ice consistently rather than just that 6-game sample size.
One guy who wasn't at training camp or in preseason is defenseman Jack Rathbone. And if we're talking about the Canucks defense needing to get better over the next couple of years, I do feel that he's a big part of what could help out the transition to that. He's a good skater. He moves the puck well. He's going to be going to Harvard, so we're going to have more tape on him this season. What is your reasonable expectation for Jack Rathbone, and when Canucks fans might be able to expect him playing for this organization at some point?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think him heading to the NCAA is going to be kind of an eye-opener for everyone, because he was definitely in a program that people weren't able to keep a close eye on. I think that, you know, you remarked quite a few times at training camp, or sorry, at development camp, that he looks, you know, even better in everything. He looks bigger. He looks better on his skates. He looked much more confident than he did the previous year. So for him, it's about heading to the NCAA and dealing with that step up in talent and figuring out what his role will be this year, because they still do have a couple of, you know, good defensemen like Adam Fox on the roster. So he's going to have to carve out his role from there. And then in year two, it's about being a leader for that group. So he's definitely a player that I'm going to be keeping a close eye on, because I'm really excited to see what he was. I think he has the toolbox to be an NHL defenseman, a top four defenseman who moves the puck, who skates, who can be physical and things like that. Now it's just a matter of how does he adapt to the step up in the quality of competition as well as the quality of teammates. It's no longer, you know, a lot of times last year he was just take the puck and do everything himself because he could do so. But now he has the ability to move it to forwards or to other defensemen to do the you know, create the offense as well. So I'm really interested to see how his game evolves in that way.
Jack Rathbone might be a few years away from playing in the NHL, but we know Quinn Hughes might be months or less than a year away from playing in the NHL, and that comes down to how good his Michigan Wolverine team is. And they start off their season in just over a week's time right now. How good a team is Quinn Hughes on this year?
I think they're in the running to challenge for a Frozen Four title again. They didn't quite make it this past year, but I think that with Hughes back and, you know, even Lockwood, who played a pretty big role for them as well, I think they have a chance to challenge for it. The thing, though, with those kind of things is it's one and done when you get to the end. So it can become a coin flip. So it's hard to say. But I think that they definitely are in the mix, and I think we'll be seeing them in the top five of the coaches' polls every week this year. And it's going to be, you know, a lot is going to be relied on by those Canucks prospects when it comes to Hughes and Lockwood. Hughes has got to be he's talked about being one of the best defensemen in the NCAA and challenge for Hobie Baker. And if he can do so, then I think Michigan has a serious chance to challenge for the NCAA title.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch Quinn Hughes play in Michigan this season. And before we let you go, Ryan, we've been talking about reasonable expectations. Just to bring you back, Nikolai Goldobin, it looks like he will be on the team to start the season, but who knows how long he'll stay on the roster. And we'll see actually how he plays this weekend as well up in Kelowna. But if he does stick and he does play, what would be your reasonable expectation for a player like Nikolai Goldobin?
Well, I think it's really dependent on the role that he plays and what he actually does, because I think it's easy for if he kind of displays that lackadaisical play that he's been criticized in the past for, then I think it's easy for him to kind of fall down and out of the roster and be a press box guy pretty quickly. But I think if the coaching staff is willing to work with him, he presents a skill set that, you know, really no one else kind of possesses. And I think he'd be a really good compliment, whether that's with Pettersson on the second unit or with Horvat and with Besser on the first line kind of thing. So I think the reasonable expectations is if he can, you know, take that step forward, is maybe he's able to put up 15 goals and 25 assists alongside Horvat and Besser, or maybe the same kind of thing on Pettersson. But there is that looming, you know, it could quickly turn and he could end up being sitting and watching a few games. So it's really hard to say. But I think what, you know, the coaching staff and Canucks fans are hoping is that he does kind of show more consistent play that allows him the ability to be on the first power play unit or second power play unit and get regular shifts. And then he can kind of display that vision and offensive upside that he has. I have liked his time that he's played with Pettersson. I think that I would continue to do so. And also his underlying numbers last year when he played with Horvat and Besser were extremely encouraging. So no matter what, I think that the Canucks are in a position where, you know, they kind of have to bite the bullet on someone like Goldobin and deal with the poor visual plays that we do see sometimes and kind of stick with it and work with him just because of what he gives to their lineup.
Sportsnet 650.